ndunenge wathi naku wathi woke we mwito naku. Hey
everyone, and welcome to Conversations with Kaleche. I'm Kaleche and I'm super excited to be back on our journey discussing money and love relationships. You know, this is where love finds a voice, and we love to give you a voice. We love to give you the opportunity to share when you hear a topic that's gripping at your heart, because hey, let's face it, relationships really make the world go round and we cannot run away from them. Now, last episode, we had an amazing guy called Kevin Ismail, who was demystifying where the young man is today. We've seen there seems to be a bit of a delay on how long it's taking many men to get married and what the issues are. Is simply, if you don't have the money, don't attempt to do this. Don't get married. If you missed it, please rush over to catch up with that episode right after watching this one or listening to this one. We are on YouTube, we are on Spotify and on AfriPods. And remember, you can always follow us at Conversations with Kaleche. We're on Instagram and we love to hear from you. Now, today we're continuing this conversation. And one of the things that has come in response to the men complaining about money is the fact that there are women who are also doing well and they've accustomed themselves to that age-old question, what are you bringing to the table? Now, they bring it to the table and then the men seem to disappear from the table. What then are we supposed to do? So our guest today is a trained lawyer who parked that law degree aside to focus on other things that give her more joy and passion. And that is the program lead at NextGen Trust Africa. She is a last born of four, one who is a half sibling. She's a parent, aka a mom to dogs. And she is still discovering her hobbies, as I have seen. And she wants to know what the issue is when it comes to a woman who's worked hard, defined herself, has brought something to the table, but still, there seems to be a delay on this dating scene. Welcome, Nekesa Wamava. It's lovely to have you here on Conversations with Kaleche.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to get to meet you. We've been having conversations around getting you here because after watching our last episode, you said, I have something to say in response to these men. Mm-hmm. And as we had our chat, you described money as the invisible third party in your parents' marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, how did watching that dynamic of your parents and money shape the way you approach relationships and love today? What was going on in that setting?
Great. Thank you so much for that introduction and leading us right to the point. I would say as a child, a lot of things happen that you see. No matter what you're told, it only matters what you see. Mm. So when it comes to money, I think for me, I already had that preformed opinion on how that would control my life. And that's the main part of it, the control. So without my dad was a very well-off, I would say, diplomat-ish. Okay. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. At some point, she just dropped her career and settled to take care of us. But with that came a lot, long distance, a lot of her still having to step into my dad's shoes when he was not there to be able to raise all of us. Okay. So when that happened, the dynamic really changes because the person who's far away still wants to maintain control. So with that, with that maintenance of control comes the question of money. Oh, the children want to do this. Why? You know, you have to like list down all the reasons.
So you got used to, if I want money, I have to have a whole list.
Exactly.
Before I say where I'm going, what I'm doing, why.
Exactly.
And then the money, hopefully, will come.
Will come. And not always. Mm. So with that, I think my mom did her best to give us what, you know, kind of childhood that we already had, but then also did her best to have our interests as children beyond school come out. Mm. And with that came a lot of sacrifice that I saw for her. Mm. She was really fully a mother. She was not a mother and her own person, like growing up.
So she kind of gave up
yes.
being a woman.
Exactly.
To just be a mom. And, mm-hmm. well, pretty much mom and dad in the country. So you guys are not the diplomats who moved every country with their parents.
Well, there was that part. But then it was very rare. It only came out when we were older. Like for me, for example, at 2 years old, I did not have any touch point with my dad for maybe I'd only have a touch point twice a year until, until I was 11. So that's like the end of, you know, primary school is when he started coming back often. So with that already, I already formed a notion that, you know, not really formed a notion, but it was advised, I'm not advised, guided by my childhood, that women really had to step up to be able to cover for what was not there. Yeah. So later on at 19, I'd already formed my own, you know, opinion about how that looked like.
Of course.
And when my dad was coming back into the picture, it was really hard to start, you know, rebuilding that which he had missed for all those 19 years. And now trying to, you know, just imagine how another child, another version of my childhood would look like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because when I think about your dad not being there, even it forms beyond even money, it also forms how do you relate with men generally? And here, the biggest thing is he was the controller of money in your lives. And your mom, you've mentioned, had to like forget about who she was. So what did that put in your head? Like when I grow up, because that's what happens. Kids see, then they decide when I grow up, I will never or I will do. What did you decide?
Well, just to give the context a bit, we are three girls and we have one brother in between us. So for us girls, we really, really had to, I'm not going to say it, you know, in a soft way, but shelter our brother. Because for our cultural context, you know, the man is always the leader of the house. But without my dad being there, there were a lot of other factors. And he was the only son for the for the longest time.
Yeah.
So for us girls, we were used to like competing for stuff. You know, you share a room, you share clothes. you
share
Exactly. So with that mindset, we grew stronger. And the way we were seeing my mom always showing up gave us that motivation to even grow stronger in our own characters. But I think the one thing that my sisters and I decided from an early onset is that we are not going to let anyone control our lives. Why? Because when we grew up, we started now seeing how other families were, you know, operating and actually seeing that it's possible for a woman to be herself and grow and still have a family.
And still be a parent and still be a mom, but still have her own personality.
Yes.
So you guys made a decision that's not going to be your life. You're not going to live the way your mom has lived her life in that perspective.
Yes, because with the money and the conversation on not having someone else around came a lot of abuse, I would also say, like, you know, with that money, you're using money as control for everything. And with that, I'd say that my mom would have really done a lot. But because of that factor, it was already taken away from her. That choice was taken away from her.
She didn't have any more power.
Exactly.
So for you, you were like, that power, excuse me, I'm not letting it go.
No.
So do you think that from that perspective, did this decision that you made with your sisters, did it empower you, protect you, or both?
Well, let me start with the word empower. I'm not very huge on that word. And the reason is because it sort of gives a framework of, you know, giving power to someone when they don't have it.
Right.
I believe we already have power. Yeah. It's just a matter of strengthening it and helping that person find it within themselves. So in terms of the financial aspect, like that mentality, I would say it did both, but then the protection part came with a lot of other consequences because I've now built walls that are very high, that it's very hard to be vulnerable with someone. I would rather protect myself than risk being vulnerable when I know that I will, you know, get hurt eventually.
Okay, so let's just debunk that a little bit because that sounds like it's got twofold.
Yeah.
There's protecting yourself because you didn't quite grow up with your dad and so there's, I don't really know how to relate with men that easily because if you had been with your dad, maybe it would have been easier. I'm just thinking. And then there's the element of then that man also now controls my money. What are we saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not controls my money, controls me. Yes.
With money.
Exactly.
Controls me with money. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you started dating and you can tell us when you did start.
Yeah.
What are the type of men did you end up interacting with? Was the income level important? Were you always, you know, eye on, what will I be required to do here? Or do I also need to show him, hey, by the way, I never lost my power. I have it.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
Yes. I started dating a bit later. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in Kitale, such a small town. But then with uni, I had to move to Nairobi. So I started dating at like 21, like serious dating.
Don't worry, you're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah. So with that came a lot of learning on the ground. Like, I would just say, no one is going to tell you what was coming next. I got into a lot of relationships, I would say, from people my age to people way older between then and now.
Yeah.
And I would say my first formative relationship is one where I was actually dating someone my age,
okay.
Someone who was successful, someone who I thought, you know, we have the same qualities. Now with that, we are going to actually, you know,
go somewhere with this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, was I wrong?
What happened?
Oh, no. Like the fact that someone has finances does not usually translate to a lot of things.
But that's what every young girl today is thinking, that if you don't have money, don't talk to me.
Well, they're not wrong with the money part, but I'm saying it's not everything.
Yeah.
Like integrity, your thought process, your empathy to people, that's a lot. When you have a lot of money when you're young, when you have had a troubled upbringing and you're not able to be open to grow beyond that, then all you're looking at is the money. And all that forms is that your character, I mean, all that forms for you is that you're using money to be your character or your career as your character.
Mm.
You don't really grow in other ways.
Mm.
So with that first relationship, you know, I was like, oh, now this guy is more successful than me, you know, still in uni. And I was like, oh, maybe, you know, we'll now move in together at the end of uni, get married, that fairy tale. Oh, God, we didn't even last for like a year. It was it was a lot that happened that year that really, I would say, when I look back at it right now, it really helped me to now go back into myself and ask myself, what is it that I'm looking for? What is it that can actually support me as a holistic person?
Mm.
So that relationship became a bit abusive and manipulative because of the money aspect.
Really?
You know?
What do you mean? How?
I don't even know. Let me give more details. Yeah. So, yes, we were young. He had his own company. He was really, you know, flashy.
And you were age
mates.
So he had moved way faster because he was not in campus like you.
Yes, he did not go to campus. Okay. He actually just started his company and became
straight
very
away.
Successful.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that, I was like, oh, maybe he can actually teach me some of these ways. Oh, no, the flashiness that came with, you know, this is the car that I have, this is the business I have, was actually just a facade. So me and my small money, because during university, I still had
I
to
mean,
work.
Really, it's pocket money, which is counted.
Yeah, but I also had to work because, you know, it's a long
to
story.
To make
my
life.
Yes. So I was like, okay, I actually have like a bit of money and a bit of freedom. Maybe, you know, we'll help each other. Mm-mm. I ended up filling the boxes for him, like where the flashiness was just a box, like just the outside part. You would find that sometimes he would not have the money to like fuel his own car, or he wouldn't have his own place, or
well,
something
okay, being
happened.
A business owner, I can see that. I can see it, but I wouldn't be imagining now asking a college student to, you know.
Your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Actually, it wasn't even his girlfriend at that point, but anyway.
But still, you're in college. I mean, he's, what? Anyway, so he now, so now he started asking you for money.
Not asking, it was manipulating me to give.
I get you. You're put in a tight situation where you say, it's okay, then let me fuel.
Exactly.
Girl.
It's okay, just come to my place.
It's okay, we'll eat what I have.
Exactly.
And you have this.
Exactly. And a lot of other things were happening on the side because I was just saying, oh, maybe, you know, one day he'll just get his things right and we will move on.
He started off hard, sis.
Yeah. Hey, and let me tell you, when he got his things right, he literally left. Like,
oh my.
It was, now I'm done.
I don't need her anymore.
Yeah, I don't need her anymore.
She was using you as a college student.
Can you imagine?
Shame.
You know? Wherever he is, he already knows. But anyway.
So let's cross over to a couple of relationships deeper where now probably you've learned your lesson once, twice.
Mm.
When did things start looking up and you were able to date and feel money's not going to be a problem?
Well, learning the lesson part, that comes a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that I did stay a while before I let someone else come into my space.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, it was still someone who had, you know, good finances and all that, but was emotionally.
So was it a priority for you to find somebody with good finances?
Yes.
Okay.
And because of my upbringing, I was not really willing to let that go until a bit later.
Okay.
But yes, I found someone very successful still, almost the same age. But the emotional availability was not there. It's like you want this, you want that, what do you want for your birthday?
Oh, yeah. So he'll throw everything you need at you and be like,
that's it. That's all I need to do. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when you ask, oh, you know, we need to have like date nights, we need to have this. Oh, but we're seeing each other maybe twice a month. Can you imagine?
I'm sorry, what?
Twice a month. And I'm just there telling myself, look. Yeah. I was like, oh, look, he's not abusive. He's not doing anything. He's just there.
Yeah, but that's a compromise that we do as ladies, isn't it? Exactly. That we say, I'm not going back to that. But then you don't realize that abusiveness maybe was only one angle. There could be many other things.
Yes. There could be meeting someone who's just like you as their walls up and they're not willing to let anyone else in.
Yeah.
And a relationship takes both people to be able to let each other in. And that was what was happening. We had similar interests, similar values. We were just scared. Yeah. You know, the fear is...
And I'm so curious about this guy. Like, if I throw money at her, then what? Then now I just tell people I have a girlfriend or what? Like, it's not making sense.
He was just very isolated. I can't even explain a lot about that because all these commitments, what I call commitment issues, he only came to realize it later on because the vulnerability was not there. He was not willing to work on that. So it became a lack of commitment.
Yeah.
And for him, commitment meant the money part. It was not, you know, emotional.
Which is the conversation we had with Kevin last episode. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, as long as I have the money, you, what's your problem? And I'm like, even me, I can have my own money.
Yeah.
Then now when we all have money, what next?
Yeah. And now that brings me to now my next part. So after a while, I actually took like a 2-year break, I would say, after those two relationships. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe let me go back home and look, you know, someone I've grown up with.
At least pali umezoea uko kienyeji.
At least na Joanna, like I know you from, you know. Anyway, I did get someone who was really nice, very genuine. Like at that point in my life, I was going through like a lot of hurdles. He really helped me work through that emotionally and all those different, you know, aspects.
Yeah.
But then now I was, because I was so traumatized with the other guys who were like successful and, you know, had money, I was not looking at that part. I was looking more towards the love and the emotions.
And the connection and the availability.
Exactly.
Okay.
So with that came misalignment in ambition. Like, I don't know how to explain how this is a problem, but yeah.
No, I want to hear you out. Then I can probably figure out how that works.
Okay. So, you know, the way like when you're in a very rough place in your life, you don't really look, you know, you're not ideal at that point. So you don't really look at
for ideals also.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, this guy is giving me the emotional availability that I need now, but I'm not looking at the long term. So I was just...
But after a while, again, that's why it has became, to be balanced, right?
Yeah. So after a while, I got myself together and I was like, you know what? I'm still going to get back to where I was. And I really had dreams. And my dad would always say, I have very big dreams. Mm. So sometimes it scares people. It also scares me. But now when it came to the point of actually actioning the dreams and now the results were coming and, you know, you've gotten into a new job, you've gotten, you know, very financially stable, you've gotten like a new car, you've gotten a new house, whatever, all those things.
Yeah.
Now that's where the resentment came in. Like if I was to go for a work trip, he'd be like, oh, where are you? You know, even share the location. I'm just thinking, wait, were you used to me when I was in the house and now you're not used to me like when I'm away?
No. You see that word you hate, empower?
Yeah.
Now you had been empowered.
Exactly.
To do what it is you were created to do in purpose.
Exactly.
And somebody was feeling intimidated.
Yeah.
And the reason it was before you were home. So in short, by the way, if you think about it, you are being controlled at home without you knowing you are being controlled at home because he was in control of your movement, your everything, and you, as long as he can see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very different from what you're saying. Your mom was at home.
Exactly. And I think that's what I had actually overlooked the first time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, you know what? We are both at home. We're both doing.
And it's easy because you're both encouraging each other at that point.
Exactly. Anyway, fast forward. It was, we actually were together for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
So sometime within the year, like 9 months, I have a very interesting thing where we actually have to sit down and talk about our relationship at some point.
Which is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's not working out, we have a, you know what PIP is? Like we have a...
The lawyer in me. What is PIP? My people don't know what PIP is. What is PIP?
It's like a performance review process where you have to just go through this 3 month or 1 month period. To review your relationship.
Hold on, honey. Yeah. Nekata, you want to tell me, you would say, so it's time for a PIP, am I you?
I would say, these are the problems you have. What are the problems you think we have?
No, but how would you introduce the conversation?
It depends. Mostly something would come up.
Okay.
And this is now where it came up.
And you need to have the conversation.
Exactly.
Okay.
So at some point, I was really moving around a lot. So we weren't really having the time we needed to have.
You had work issues
yes.
to do. Okay.
And by the time I came back, I was moving fast. Like I was moving with, oh, new furniture or this. Because I only have like a few weeks.
To get yourself organized.
Mm-hmm.
So your job had a lot of travel.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then now it came to the point where I was like, oh, you know what? I need to get a new car. Hey, let me tell you. Let me tell you. As in, you think your man would help you to choose the car you want and whatever. I chose the car I wanted. And he's like, don't you think you should get a cheaper car? I was like, are you the one paying for it? Or is it me? So that came with, oh, when you're going for birthdays, I've booked for you something, but just leave your car at home. I'm like...
So, is it safe to say that he felt emasculated by the fact that you had a better car than him?
Exactly. After all the things we've gone through.
And you all started at zero.
Exactly. We were all starting at zero. So, I was like, okay, so this is actually an issue. I know this is a... Another point was when I was away, because I have cats, actually, I have cats.
Yeah.
So when I was away, he would actually be coming to support, like feeding and, you know, all
helping
those different
with
things.
You're away.
Yes. But now it got to the point when he started moving his things slowly into the house. So I'm coming back. I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
So you bought new furniture. Someone has to sit on it. Nekesa, what were you expecting?
Yeah, I was like, hey, we did not talk about that. So that's where it came, the PIP thing.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I really like my space. I'm so used to just, you know, being alone. You can't just move
also,
in.
Also, how are you just moving in? Wait.
Hey,
the man does not move into the woman's house. For shame, guys.
This is a complicated story, but yes. So I was like, hey, you've moved in. Look, we now need to sit down and talk about it.
Yes.
Because I really think that before you move in with someone, you both have to have lived alone.
And that is important so that you understand yourself in your own space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that had not happened for him. He was taking the advantage of me not being there to have his own space in my own space.
So wait, when you say he had not lived on his own, where was he living?
At home with his parents. which is another deal breaker for me now. You have to live by yourself. there's no negotiation.
He was how old living in his mother's house? I just want...
Same age.
So...
Yeah.
Okay. I you know...
Mm-hmm.
There's that debate that, of course, it's important to enable your man to feel safe when it's you who's making more money. But I see that in marriage. If things change in marriage. You know how over COVID things changed a little bit and there had to be... a dynamic shift for if the woman still kept her job and the man maybe had to be retrenched because things happened.
Yeah.
How do you balance it? And that's, you know, we're married.
Yeah.
We are not married yet.
Exactly. And the thing is, nothing bad has happened to him either. It's just a matter of maybe we need to just realign and see what we need to do together.
Okay.
But now I think another thing, it became so bad to a point that he would actually just break down at times and say, I don't understand why my life is so great. And I'm like, do you remember all those sleepless nights, you know, when you're applying for things, when you're calling people?
So was he working at this point?
Yes. He was just very comfortable. And that's why I was talking about misalignment of ambition.
Right. He wasn't ambitious enough to now move. He got the job and he just stayed.
Exactly. So I was always that person, like the support. If I'm good at maybe writing the CV or if I have connections or something, I would call and be, you know,
aggressive
supportive.
About this thing.
Yeah, but you also need to be aggressive about following up and all that. So he wouldn't understand why I've just got a new job and I'm moving at this very fast pace and he's been there in his job for like
Yet
4 years.
You're trying to help him but he's not helping himself.
Yeah, he just feels bad. And I'm like, look, I sometimes can be very emotionally disconnected. That's one thing. But I was also getting concerned because you cannot be crying and you're not doing anything about it.
Generally, as a human being, man or woman, it doesn't matter who, even your friend, your girlfriend, you can't be crying, and you're not doing anything about it. And yet you're being given advice what to do. That's just bad human behavior.
Yes.
So that relationship ended.
Yeah, it ended. Yeah, it ended with us. I mean, just arguing about that, the ambition part. And then, but we're still friends. Now, my next relationship was like very, very fairy tale. Like, you know,
okay.
We met, you fell in love very fast, like okay. Very, very fast. But then the picture that I had of the person in the beginning, or rather the picture that I was sold,
okay.
Was not the same thing.
Why?
So you'll find that like by month three, when you know, start celebrating birthdays and all those things, it's like, oh, babe. You know, I'm having problems at work. I don't have money for this. Oh, baby, you're going for a trip. Oh, you know, I don't have the money now. So you end up paying for the trip. You end up driving for that person.
Wait. You know how yes. I have been longing to get a man so that I stop driving. You're telling me
imagine.
That Nana drive trip.
Oh my God.
We're going to Masai Mara and I'm the one driving and you're sitting there.
Exactly.
You joke.
Exactly.
Because what?
Because the excuses were, oh, you know, when you met me, I was not at the right place. But you know, when somebody's
okay.
Not,
mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm finish.
Yeah, no worries. Like you would tell me, oh, last year I was in this, you know, nice place, like, oh, I had my own car, I had moved out, I had all these things. But now this year, when we met, I'm having issues. And I'm like, cool, it's been 3 months, okay, cool. 4 months down the line, 5 months on the line, why are you still having issues the whole year? Like, what is the next step?
And what is the issue?
The issue was finances. So at some point, I don't know if it was true because I'd never really visited his house. He was like, oh, I've been told to move back to my dad's house.
Then why is he dating if he's not able to?
That's the thing. And I was being very, you know, I was trying to be very open and be
and
like
understanding.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to be the woman who's told you left him because he said he's
because
having
he
financial
no
issues. You see, we try, guys. We really do try. But then you show us shege also.
Yeah.
You don't help us help you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So it became a point. I mean, it came to a point where now the decision fatigue was too much. Like, I cannot be making decisions of where we are going.
You're looking for a leader in a man.
Exactly. And Lafu, I'm going from work to make decisions there, to come back home to make decisions here. That's not happening.
So would you say, like, a lot of men think that when we are powerful women who have accomplished a lot and are doing well at work, we're going to bring that bossiness and we want to lead in the house.
Exactly.
Is it true? Or is that really what we want?
Mm-hmm.
Because from what I'm hearing, you're saying, I don't want to lead everywhere.
Exactly. So actually this came up when one of our, let me say, friends told me, you know, I didn't like the way you look on a career, your boyfriend. I'm like, have you thought about the decision fatigue that I am going through as
and
a woman?
Have you thought about the fact that he makes me do all this
exactly.
stuff?
Exactly. Like when I tell you, oh, what do you want to do today? Oh, but anything you want to do, babe. What do you want to eat? Come on, anything. It could be anything and you know, with anyone else then, if that's the point. So,
that's
exhausting. Yeah, it got to that point and one specific situation where we were really trying to like solve these issues. We took a break and then came back and we were going for like a birthday. Now, this is the driving part and all that. And to the point where, you know, when you're going to a different city or a different town, you really have to have plan A, plan B, plan C.
Yeah, yeah,
so if my phone is not working, I need to have, you know, something like cash, I need to have a card or whatever.
Mm.
The night before, he comes and tells me, oh, you know, my phone is spoiled. Okay. The next day, nothing. Do you want to go? We get like a charge or something? Mm-mm, no. We're going all the way to a different town. We get there. His phone is still spoiled. The whole weekend, when you were away, his phone was still spoiled. I had to cover everything. Everything. I got sick at some point. I have to remember that I'm going back to drive because I don't trust, you know, the fact that he has a very bad eyesight and cannot drive when it's raining or when it's all those things. So I was like, you know what? By the time I got back to Nairobi, I just said, look, we are done. It's not one thing. It's a lot of things. And it's also because of the thought process. It's also because you're bringing a lot of chaos to my life. I'm a very plan A person. Like, I am going to make my shopping list. I am going to do this. I'm going to budget. You cannot be coming all this time with emergencies. Everyone has emergencies, but not all the time.
Exactly. And then also there are emergencies. I don't have to tell you everything. I can
exactly.
sort it out. Also, if you're the man and you're supposed to be in charge and leading, sort it out.
Exactly.
So I think you are really used for a second time. I just personally.
Second, really.
I think you are used there because my phone is not working and I don't want to charge it. And therefore, I don't have M-Pesa.
Yes.
I don't have money.
You didn't even carry a card. How?
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 Girl.
So what
then in your vast experience of dating, and I'm sure there have been more you're going to share with us,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you didn't feel safe and it was around money.
Mm-hmm.
What does safety and partnership then look like to you? And have you attained that in any of the relationships so far?
Well, I want to first thank my therapist because she's done a great job.
Therapy, guys, is important.
She made me sit down and actually think about it. Like, what are my non-negotiables and what are the things I can negotiate on? And for me, safety looks like a lot of things. There's the leading aspect. We have to have the same values in terms of the thought process. We also have to be people who've actually made ourselves who we are today. It cannot be like
you have to have worked hard. Basically, exactly. Be a hard worker.
Or just choose your own path.
Yeah.
Like, and no one else.
Have a plan for yourself.
Exactly. Someone who's leading and someone who you don't have to tell them what to do. Like, naturally, you can just say, oh, look, she's sick. I need to do this and this. Oh,
right,
you know. So for me, safety really takes up, you know, someone who's that and then also ambitious because we cannot be intimidated by each other. We need to be able to support each other. Yeah. Ambition is something that you really need to have and at the same level or more.
Yeah.
And then my non-negotiables, I think, I mean, my other negotiables are just,
as you meet them. But if you look back on your life, what do you think has played a major role in how you feel about men and money? Is it the fear from what you watched as a child, or has it been these experiences? Because right now, are you dating now?
No.
You're not?
Yeah.
And from, I guess, the last relationship you had, what are the thoughts you had? Was it, I need to wait because I need to sort myself out, which I'm happy you're doing therapy just to figure out, because a lot of things affect us from our childhood, the way we were brought up. What do you think is holding you back now when it comes to money, or what are your thoughts around it right now? Money in a relationship.
What is holding me back is fear. And I'm not a very big risk taker. Okay. So I feel like I'm taking a very big risk, putting my heart out there again. And then, as you said, you know, when you take away the part of the provider for a guy, if it's a financial thing and you're not really, you know, looking for that specifically, it becomes another question of just figuring out how empty people are outside here. Like, it's, there's no holistic conversation. There's no intellectual stimulation. It's just boring, basically. And the reason why I'm saying that is because most of us as women, we are fed that, I mean, not fed that, but we either get men who control us because they have money, or a man who has an ego and wants to, like, you know, make sure that, she's back in her place. Even though she has money, she's still, you know, lazima rudi. Exactly. So what scares me the most is, yes, I've been able to identify, you know, like those different pieces that I still need to work on and that maybe my other partner would need to work on. But there are some things I'm not willing to compromise on. And one of those things is my own sanity in terms of peace of mind and other things that most men right now want. And one of the other things is the nurturing aspect. Like, I'm not very, very huge on, I want to have 10 children. I want to have a big marriage. I want to have a partner. I don't know about the children part. I'm not very big on that. But if I have someone who be, you know, align on that, fine. But those things really scare guys because all they're looking for is one, a nurturing woman, a woman who stays at home and, you know, is the center of...
And make me babies.
Exactly.
Make me babies.
Yeah, it scares me that I might not get that, but it also makes me comfortable in the fact that at least I have myself and at least I do not need to depend on someone else for that.
Yeah.
That aspect of being dependent, again, is really scary.
It's really scary. Mm-hmm. But have you dated somebody who's understood that you have your own money and you're not looking for money? And money is good to have. I mean, we're not saying money is bad. However, it's not what's going to attract me to you. How have you ever had to communicate that to somebody?
They're not being attracted to the money.
Yeah.
Yes. So you remember the ex who was emotionally unavailable but had money? Yeah. So we are back there now. In terms of, I have ever dated someone like who actually understood where I came from, who was not pressuring me to be something else, and actually understood that money was not my, you know, my one point.
That relationship.
Yes. But then again, I've just been thinking about it based off of all the different relationships that I've been in. I was just saying as a joke this year that my heart is under lock. You know, we're not there yet.
We're not opening up yet.
I'm not opening up yet.
Yeah. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, I can see that in like some, you know, I go out on dates rather. I'm not dating someone, but I go out on dates. And I enjoy the conversations. I enjoy, you know, what people, the picture they get of me. But then later on, you actually find that, oh, you know what? That was just because we were meeting outside. Later on, as you get to know these people, it becomes empty. It's like, oh, okay, you said you are a career woman, but you know, a career woman can also cook. So you want me to go 50-50, rather, on the finances, and then you want me to come back and then
do
cook.
The other part. Let's all cook. Mm-hmm. In fact,
yeah,
all
let's
of
all
us,
cook.
Let's all cook.
Yeah.
So you have had people want the 50-50. Because, you know, men confuse me a lot. 1 minute, you want 50-50. A woman must have her own. It's not about me and having the money. Then when I come and I have the money, you're going to control me now. You have too much money. Can you just stay at home and cook?
Yeah.
What do you men want? Like, where's the line? Because in an economy like the one we are in this world, not even Kenya alone, there's no way we can survive on one income.
Exactly.
It's just not possible. But I don't want to be told that you want my money, but then at the same time, I should not be ambitious. Because I think that's where that's where it is. It's he could take your money, but don't be ambitious that now you've gone, you're doing more, you're getting higher positions at work, or you're investing in other things that bring you joy. I think though, and this is just because we must have hope. And I've faced the same kind of challenges. I don't know about you, but men are normally afraid to even talk to me.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
I
understand.
No,
yeah. No. I'm saying I understand from my perspective because I've been told that before. Oh, you know, you're too manly. Ah, manly.
Manly?
Because I had to like be independent and get my own things.
Because I remember, I have to tell you this one before we wrap up. I remember a guy I liked visited my house and said, so if you have this TV, what will I buy?
Oh my God.
And I was like, the next bigger one, the next one. I know there's a next. I swear I know there's a next.
Yeah.
But I think he was looking at the house and then it came out. I don't think he intended for me to hear it. But that was it. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? That means that I should stay with old, dusty, rackety looking things so that I look like the damsel in distress and I need your help. So in the meantime, I should live badly until you decide
to bring a better life. And you know, the funny thing is, and I guess that's why I'm still working on things. My dad has ever told me something like that. It's like, so if you've bought this car, so what will your boyfriend or husband buy you? I'm like, something
the
better.
The next bigger one. I promise there's a bigger one. There's a bigger one. There's a better one. If that's what you think will make you a man by the most expensive thing, hey, by all means, there's a big, in fact, buy a jet.
Exactly.
Let's just roll in
Let's
the jet.
Let's go in a jet.
I mean, hey. And you see, there are men who can do all those things. So what's the issue? So as we even wrap up, Nekesa, right now, what's the one thing you would tell the men who are out there asking for what do you bring to the table when they meet the woman who owns the table, because
damn it, their own table.
Yeah, I have my own table. I mean, you have your own table. Yeah. You've done a lot. You have your own table. What would you tell them in terms of how to appreciate a woman who comes having worked hard equally as you have? Because he's working hard, so I've worked hard. What would you tell them?
What do I bring to the table? Well, I'm still working on that answer. But right now, my answer would be totally different. I am not independent, like, you know, because now I have everything you know.
Think I have everything.
Exactly. You think I have everything now. You know, I should bring that. Honestly, I'll bring my open heart to the table.
And I want to be taken care of just because I've been taking care of my... In fact, actually, aren't you tired of taking care of yourself?
I am so tired. Yeah. As in... Let me tell you, wake up and you're the only person paying bills. You're the only person.
I mean, we're tired. We're doing it because, hey, we're not going to suffer. Why should we live rackety lives? We're not suffering. However, we do want to be taken care of. We're only doing this until you come and take care of us. So here are two amazing, beautiful women working very hard, ready to be taken care of by a man who doesn't get intimidated or emasculated by the fact that we have been working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
That's true. Yeah. An open heart and an open mind. That's what we need.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nekesa, for being here. You have really brought a lot of wisdom into this conversation, and I'm very happy to hear that I'm not the only one suffering those kind of problems.
Yeah,
thank you so much for being here. We are definitely excited to see where this leads, guys. Mm-hmm. What about you? What is your relationship with money? What kind of relationships have you had that have either developed you or burnt you as a result of money? Because money is a very big question. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a couple and you want to share how you've navigated going through a hard time and eventually getting to solve it through money, we want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Drop us an email, conversationswithkalecha@gmail.com. Come and be a guest. We'd love to host you. Or even just comment on what you loved about the show or your thoughts. That's what Nekesa did, and that's how she is here on this show. Mm-hmm. So remember, we are always willing to host you. And don't forget to subscribe, follow us. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we are on AfriPods, and we love to hear from you. I want to say a big thank you to Prima Salon, that is Prima Elora Beauty, for the amazing makeup and hair. I am truly honored to be working with you. If you want to be on this show, you know what to do. But from us, this is where love finds a voice on Conversations with Kalecha. We'll catch up next time. Thank you.